How we doing? Okay. Hey, to take your stand, and when you've done everything, to stand. One of the things that struck me, you know, we referred back to it already once this morning, but did anybody happen to see the game last Sunday? Oh, my goodness. Imagine this, if you will. Down by 12 points, 4 minutes to go, and your team on offense throws another interception. So there's 4 minutes and change, and you throw an interception, and you're already down by 12 points. The other team, rather than running that interception back for as far as they can, they think the game is over. And rather than trying to run and either get a touchdown or get another 20, 30 yards with one other player and a quarterback, the only guys who can tackle him, the other players on the field are going, "Hey, the game's over. Get down. Get down." The game wasn't over. It wasn't over. As we saw, it was a beautiful comeback of epic proportion. Oh, my goodness. My boys were sitting there, and the whole time, even though we had been playing so poorly, I've been saying, "Guys, it's not over, it's not over. And it's not over, it's not over." And then when we threw that last interception, I said, "It's not over." But I didn't believe it as much myself at that point. I was starting to second guess it. But the players didn't. They were ready for the battle. They were ready for the game, and they kept going, and they kept going. And somehow, they came back and won. I mean, it was truly amazing. But one of the things, one of the reasons I share that story is, guys, we can feel like we have been completely and utterly defeated. Like we are just in a place where we got nowhere to go. And the lies of the enemy is saying, you know what? You do have nowhere to go. And I'll say more about this, but right now I'd like for Kenny to come on up, and he's going to share a testimony here. Let's welcome him up.
I won't need that, Pastor.
Oh, it can also be recorded, though. So.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. First of all, I want to say good morning, church. And give an honor and praise. I'm probably one of the most introverted persons you ever want to meet. On the inside, I could be all scared, worried, whatever. But on the outside, I'm going to still stand up and do what I got to do, because that's just the way it is. And I want to say that I feel so blessed because I'm the prodigal son who came home. I've done everything in the world wrong that a man can do. I learned about money from an early age coming from a poor family. I started working at the age of 14, had a little part-time job after school. At the age of 16, I moved out of my parents' house, had my own home, sold drugs, went to school, worked a job. Sold drugs from the time I was 16 all the way up till the time I was 38. And in that time, I was arrested 3 different times, lost everything, got everything back at a blink of an eye, because that's how easy it is when you sell drugs. But during all that time, I was raised in church. Mother used to take us to church all the time, but once I got old enough and flew the coop, it was just like I forgot about church. Didn't really understand where all my blessings were coming from. So, like I said, losing everything 3 times, getting it back, you know how that goes. A person starts to think, well, I'm invincible. I can do this and I can do that. Money's no problem. I can get it. Well, the 4th time I got busted, it wasn't so easy. All of a sudden, I was down, didn't have nothing, didn't really know how to adjust to living a pauper's life. So, start thinking about suicide, taking my life because I could never get back. And then all of a sudden, I start thinking about, well, what about the accomplishments I've made? I said, even though I was doing all these criminal activities, I had an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a certificate in horticulture, 6 years telephone lineman construction. And I thought, why is it that I can't get back up on my feet? And I kept trying and trying until I got to the point to where, no, I can't do it, and I'm going to just commit suicide. I'm going to do drugs until I die. Well, an old friend I ran into who had lived in Seattle, he said, how about coming to see Seattle with me and see if you can't get back up on your feet? So at the same time, I was thinking, well, I'm never going to get back up on my feet. And sooner or later, I'll just do drugs until I drop dead. But at least I can go up to Seattle. My parents, my family couldn't see me. And whatever was going on up here, we would just end here. Well, when I was coming, I still said to my girlfriend who had told me, said, why would you go up there with a guy who's more unstable than you are? And I said, because God can help me if he wants to. And when I said it, it resonated all through my spirit when I said, God can help me if he wants to. But what did I do? At first, I came up here thinking, I'll stand on my credentials. I'll go here, I'll go there. I put in applications and stuff, and I was rejected. I was turned down because of criminal activity, past activity. And I'm saying, Lord, what is going on? And this is when I truly looked at the Lord, what is going on? And I want you to know, it was no education. It was no skill. It was all of a sudden having faith that God could change my situation. He did. All of a sudden, I started getting information from places that I wasn't even inquiring about it. Next thing you know, I've got an income. I'm back on my feet. And it was nothing I'd done. It was truly from the Lord. And again, resonated in my spirit. He said, I had to let you know that it was me. It was nothing you was going to do. Now, I'm not saying my life is picture perfect now, because it isn't. But God is in my life. I know he exists. And he is a rewarder of those who truly seek and follow him. Amen. And thank you for that, church.
Amen. Amen.
And in conclusion, see, God's greater, right? God's greater than our situation. God's greater than our problems. God's greater than what we're going through when we feel like we're drowning. We're not, if we're in Christ. If we're in Christ. Ephesians 6, 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Guys, it's so easy to get caught up in that whole idea that this person's out to destroy me. This person's against me. Our struggle isn't with the person. It's with the spiritual forces behind. And here we get to lift the curtain and see back behind and see the spiritual battle revealed. And it says, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have a foe that is powerful compared to us. And if we go up empty-handed against him, we will fail every single time. Here's the reality. You and I, we are not greater than those spiritual forces. We will be undone by them. But here's the greater truth. Christ Jesus defeated the enemy when he died, was buried, and resurrected. He has conquered sin and death. And he offers that to us and says, it is for you. I've done this for you. But he doesn't force it. He doesn't demand that you follow him. He loves you and he says, love me back. Because love can't be forced. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Do you think the day of evil is here? You know, it's interesting. You get a newspaper any day. You're going to see war. You're going to see people crying on the front page. You're going to see battles all over the world going on. You read this thing, you're going to be reminded how broken the world is. The newspaper, day after day after day, just reminds us of the brokenness of man. And then you put the newspaper down and you experience the situations in your own life. And you're reminded once again of the brokenness of humanity and the spiritual battle that is taking place. What are the times in your life when you feel like you're experiencing more spiritual warfare, more junk than other times? Those are the times where you need to grab onto Christ with both hands, get together in fellowship with other believers. Guys, we were not called to be on this journey alone. We need God to deal with it, but He gave us each other to be pointed to Him. And, you know, being married now for over 20 years, for 22, to see the blessing of having the person with you that can encourage you in the right direction when you need that encouragement. There are times where that marriage has been such a blessing to me right when I needed it most. But that's not only true in marriage, is it? That's also true with friendship. We have iron sharpening iron. We got to hear from Kenny this morning. Were you blessed?
Amen.
I tell you, he shared a little bit of his testimony with me earlier this week. I was blessed. I was just like, man, that's exactly what we're talking about. God is greater. And I love what he said. And I love how he said, when it was up to him, when he was going on his credentials, nothing was moving forward. Nothing was moving forward. But when God was the one that he was turning to, and his heart was turning to the Lord, God moves. And God moves in a way that says the glory belongs to God.
We'll get into more of that a little bit later here. As we go, as we're looking at this spiritual battle that we're facing, I wanted to turn to Luke 11, starting in verse 21.
Jesus has just done some healing, and some of the people around have said, you know what? He's done this by the power of Beelzebul. And what that is Beelzebul is the Lord of the garbage. And so the people back then really believed in this, had an understanding that hell was a garbage dump. And they were very right on track because it's the garbage dump of wasted lives, of lives that have been wasted and thrown away. And because it was a garbage dump, what does a garbage dump smell like? It has a terrible stink. And what's attracted to the stink? The flies. The flies. And that's where we get the understanding of the Lord of the flies, the Lord of the stink of the garbage dump. And man in and of himself comes to that place where we don't have the things to make the junk right. But Jesus was speaking and they were saying, you know what? You're the Lord of the flies. You're the Lord of the garbage dump. You're doing these healings. You're doing these miracles by the power of Satan. And Jesus turns to him and says, would Satan turn on his own house? Would he divide himself against himself? No. And then he goes on to say this in verse 21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stranger, when one stronger, then he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor, in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Who's the strong man? Satan. Satan's the strong man.
What is it that he's gathering? What is it? What is his stuff? It says he guards his own place and his goods are safe. What are his goods? People. The people. This is his house. He's guarding his stuff. And he's guarding his stuff. And it says, but when one stronger than him attacks. Guys, we've got to understand. We've got an enemy who considers the world his. His. And he is guarding himself. And three principles. We'll be taking the first verse here, verse 21, and bring it down and kind of looking at three basic principles from this scripture. The first is that humanity by itself is hopeless and powerless against Satan. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are safe. His goods, we belong to him. This world of the flesh, it's under his control. He's got authority here. There's a spiritual battle taking place, and apart from those in Christ, he's the ruler of this world. He's gotten his junk in there. And sin is a part of our world. And he is doing everything he can to stake out his territory. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under control of the evil one." Guys, what are the three usual methods of human reform? Kenny talked a little bit about some of that as he was giving his testimony about trying to do things in his own strength and doing them with his own credentials. There's three areas that are good, but if we try and just do these outside of the work of Christ, we're going to fall short. Legislation, education, and improving our environment. Those are good things, aren't they? What is the point of legislation? Law. It's the law. It's to what? It's to say, that's wrong, you can't do that. And so we set up laws to try and control the brokenness in the lives of the people. Because when people are broken, they break things. When people are broken on the inside, they break stuff around them. If I'm going down, I'm not going down alone. Right? And so we have legislation. And we set up laws, and they're good laws, which help to kind of corral and how people are thinking and what they're doing and keep it together. We have education. Take a criminal, get him educated. What do you have? An educated criminal. A more effective criminal. Is education bad or wrong? No, it's good. But by itself, it's not enough, guys. Do you see what I'm saying? By itself, it's not enough. And we can come to a place where we think, you know what? I've got this, and I've got this all figured out. And when we try and do it in our own strength, in our own way, we consistently fall short. Colossians, a scripture that just came to my mind, Colossians 2:8. "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Don't be taken in by the wisdom of this world, because it's going to leave you dry and empty at the end. Legislation, education, and improving our world, improving what we have around us. Guys, is it wrong to reach out to people and help people and make things better for people? No, that's really good, and it's important. You know, where I heard this, Kenny's testimony earlier this week was when the two of us were with Dave, and we were up sharing at the hall. And David, once again, it's the weekly thing of bringing out the soup and coffee and cocoa and tea and chips and being there and just being available to people on Wednesday evenings and talking with people, both homeless and then people going in and out of the hall. And for the AA meetings and just a chance to be chatting with people. And if you have a chance to be a part of that ministry, it takes place on Wednesday nights. Talk to Dave. He's leading up. It's a fantastic ministry. Dave Ockers. Dave, can you give a little wave there? Yeah, Dave Ockers. That's Dave! Hey, Dave. Thank you. But guys, if we do that in our own name, it's not enough. If we do that not in the name of Christ, we've missed it. And to see the conversations keep coming back to the Lord. You know, the soup is going out. But the soup is going out so that the message of the gospel can go forth. And if we just do the soup, if we just do the outreach without Jesus, we're in the strong man's home. We're on his territory. We're dealing in his place. So the first principle is humanity by itself is hopeless and powerless against Satan. Verse 22, but when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Who's the one who overcomes? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's the one who comes in and takes away the spoils. Who are the spoils? Humanity, mankind. And God is taking those who humbly come before him. Only, the second principle, only the good news of Jesus Christ can break the bad news of the devil. It's the only thing. We heard that from Kenny this morning. When it's Christ who moves, things fall in place. Things happen, which are not just physical things. And guys, this is not what I'm saying. If you turn to Jesus Christ, all the things that you want to have happen and work out and be nice in your life will happen. That's not true. The world is still a broken place. The world around you won't change. You will change in the world. And you will bring that change, the change of Christ in you, into the world. And people will start responding to you differently because there's something different about you. And it's not you, it's Jesus. And now your conversations, now how you love is very different. Before it was all about me. Everything comes through the funnel of me. How does it affect me? Is it positive or negative? Does it make me look good or make me look bad? So conversations need to be performed in a way so that it makes me look good. Things done are only done if they benefit me. Now, we can try and get out of that with some of those things like the laws and the legislation and those three different things and try and come up with ways to make it better out. But we're always going to hit that wall. We're always going to come back to that same wall. 2 Corinthians 4:4, at the beginning, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Guys, the reason people don't see their need for God is because they've been blinded with the lies of the enemy. Because there's spiritual death and there's spiritual life only in Christ Jesus. For those of you who are believers here, do you remember what happened with this when you came to faith? 15 years I spent with this book being bored out of my mind. I'm serious. I was 15 years old when I came to the Lord. Every time I was at church, every time I wasn't pretending to be sick and in church, and they finally got me there, every single time, somebody would read from this and I would go, turn off. And it was like, what's that cartoon where the parents are wah, 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 wah? Charlie Brown. Do you remember? Wah, 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 wah. They're talking about life. They're talking about the best news of all of the world. And it sounded to me like wah, wah, wah. How in the world is that possible? That the most exciting, the most fantastic news can just blah, blah into nothing. It was because I was spiritually dead. It was because I believed the lies. And when I came to Christ, something happened to the Word of God. It became the living Word of God. It became where I go to find my answers. It became what I go to when everything is gone. And guys, that doesn't change. We go through seasons, don't we? There are seasons. I tell you, I hope you never think that as your pastor, I don't go through seasons. Because I do. There are times where I struggle. There are times where I'm struggling to trust God. Because I start listening to some of those old truths again. And the spiritual battle starts to get pretty loud. And I start to listen to the one who has already been defeated but yelling like he's in charge. And I start making it personal about me and where I'm at and what I'm struggling with. And I start battling in my own strength. And I start keeping some things back that I should be sharing with my brothers in Christ. And I start stepping backwards and thinking, let me get a hold of this, and then I'm ready for battle. Then I'm ready to bring Christ. No. We got to come to that place where we say, I can't. I can't. I surrender my understanding that I can do this. And just like Kenny said, I'm gonna grab onto the truth of Christ and who he is, and those are the credentials I'm resting on. That's what I'm holding on to. And that alone. First John 3:8, in the beginning it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. See, Jesus had a purpose, didn't he? Think of something that's destroyed, obliterated. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Spiritually, the enemy has been defeated. Why do we go back to some of those old ways of thinking? Why do we choose? Because we're believing and receiving the lie. We need to live in the truth. We aren't called to change the way people live. We're called to love people in Christ. And this is something that I think as we bring this truth to ourselves and we get a hold of this, sometimes we think, okay, now I've been changed by the gospel, so now I want others to be changed by the gospel, and they're not moving fast enough. Yes. Right? Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Where you look, especially if it's somebody you care for. If it's somebody who's close to you, who you care for, and you're thinking, man, I can change their life. And we start putting ourselves in the place of the Messiah.
Yeah, that's true.
And we weren't called to be the Messiah. We're called to be the ambassador of the Messiah. We're called to share, to talk about what the Messiah has done, to talk about what our Savior and our Lord has done. We can't change or save anyone, guys. There is no one here that we can change or save. There's no one out there that we can change or save. We can love them in Christ with the truth of the Word of God.
Yes.
And to share it in a loving way, not in an argumentative way. Is there a truth that there's a hell? Yes. Is there a truth that people who don't receive Christ will be separated from God for all eternity? Yes. Do I bring that in a way that shows no love? No. No. I don't condemn. I share the love of Christ. I share the love of Christ. And guys, we can't start with what people do. And I hope you hear this. So often it's so easy for us to come to the people in our lives that don't know the Lord and be so negative and saying, you know what, you need to change this action in your life. And you know what? The actions don't change who they are on the inside. And it's so easy for us to try and start with the outside, to treat other people the way we sometimes treat ourselves. I can do this. You can do this. The reality is the changes in their lives, if it's being brought forth by a new spirit in them, Christ himself, things in their life will change. We don't put the cart before the horse. We don't say, change your life so that you can come to Jesus. We say, here's my Lord. Here's what he's done for me. If we've got a friend who's struggling with a sin, an addiction, or some things they're doing, or even something is politically incorrect to talk about as homosexuality, we don't deal with the homosexuality. We deal with Jesus. First, do we stand for truth? Absolutely, guys. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, I'm not going to talk to my friend, and I've had these conversations with my friends who are homosexual. I'm not going to start with, you need to change this in your life. I'm going to start with, God loves you. He knows who you are. He knows what you're struggling with. He died for you. I know what it's like to struggle with things. And this is where Jesus met me. And allow the Holy Spirit to come and transform them from the inside out. And now it's God who's leading them forward in truth. And now their ears are open, their eyes can see, they've gone from spiritual death to spiritual life. And now the Holy Spirit convicts them. That's much more powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Regardless of the sin that the person is struggling with. That's how things get dealt with, guys. When it's God dealing with us. And lastly, the third, there is no neutral ground in spiritual warfare. Guys, it is so easy to want to coast. Wait a second. Pause. There's no pause. I want to just get in this area where it's this neutral, safe zone. And have you ever been there? Luke 11:23 says, whoever is not with me is against me. No neutral space in spiritual warfare. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Guys, don't scatter. Don't scatter. You either stand with Christ or you're against him. And that's what it comes down to. Who are you standing with? When we stand with Christ, we've got his power working through us. So when we're when you're at work, when we're at work, when we're with family, when we're with extended family, when we're with friends, there's no neutral ground. It's not, okay, here's church, this is where we're spiritual, this is where we pray, this is where we read the God. And then we go back to real life. Come Monday, that's work. That's real life. This is a nice pause button. It's not. Sunday's not more holy of a day than Monday in the eyes of God. It is a time where we come together to worship and to be encouraged and to grow. But God is the same God on Monday. The spiritual battle is the same battle on Monday. And even when we get to Friday and Saturday night, it's the same God in the same battle. And here we are, and what do we choose to do? Do we choose to go the old way or the new way? Do we choose to go with who we are in the truth of our position in Christ? Or do we start believing the lies of the enemy and go back to those same old junky ways that entrap us and enslave us? It is for freedom that Christ sets you free, the Word of God says. Be free indeed. Keep in step with the Spirit, the Word of God says. Have you ever seen somebody marching and they're out of step?
Oh, yeah.
They stand out. Be in step with who? The Holy Spirit. So now he's leading, I'm following. He's leading, I'm following. Where's the problem? How do I get out of step? I'm going to follow. I'm going to lead. I'm not following right now. This is the area where I lead in my life. Where is that area in your life, guys? You know that. I don't know. And for each of us, it's different. Where is the area where you get out of step with God? Where you say, you know what? I got this. Either I know better or I want something else. I want the pleasures of the moment rather than the peace and joy of the truth of Christ. Guys, the pleasures are there. They're always staring us in the face, aren't they? And the problem with those pleasures is they will chew you up and spit you out. They'll destroy us. They'll take the joy out of life. End with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we live in the world, and we do live in the world, don't we? For though we live in the world, and we are involved in the lives of the people who aren't at church, though we live in the world, we've got friends who don't go to church. Though we live in the world. Guys, do you understand that the only friends that you have are not supposed to be at church alone? Though we live in the world. Now, our friends that we grab onto and walk together in this daily battle are the believers, not just this church, but other believers. And we walk hand in hand. But though we live in the world, but are not of the world. Guys, don't allow yourself to only be in spheres of influence. Your spheres of influence should be the church and the people and Christians. But the people in your lives shouldn't be just Christians. We need to be in the world, bringing the gospel to those who don't have the gospel. If you know Jesus, you're a missionary. Sorry. You're a missionary. And if you live in this greater Seattle area, you're on the front lines of, because you're in a hostile environment to the gospel. This isn't like it was 20, 30 years ago, where most people had a sensitivity and appreciation for church. You want to see doors shut real quick? In certain conversations, bring up Jesus. Not necessarily the church or God. Church you're starting to, but or in a higher power or spirituality. That's okay. Spirituality is great, actually. But you start talking about Jesus. But they'll slam less if you do it in relationship. And if you do it in love. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish. I love that word. To demolish strongholds. Where the enemy has his stronghold. You know what the stronghold is? It's that area that's for the that can't be touched. And Christ has the power to demolish the enemy's strongholds, the areas that are protected. To demolish strongholds, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And guys, this the reason I wanted to end here is because it goes back to the mind. What are we spending our time thinking about? Where is your time and energy? Is it about the things of God, or is it about the things of this world? We have to do certain things, and we have to function in the world. I'm not saying we cave and become our own little thing. Once again, we need to be with the world, but not of the world. But we have to use our brains, and we have to think, and we have to use intelligence and say, man, I'm not going to allow myself to be brought in to the enemy's territory through his lies. I'm going to be wise in his strength and in his knowledge, and I'm going to be prepared for the battle that's ahead of me and with me right now. And we have to be willing to say, I understand that I don't have the strength to do it, but I understand that I have victory in Christ. And so for the situation that you're going through right now, what's the biggest one that you're dealing with right now? God is greater. Yes. He's greater than the problem that you're facing right now. All of us have. And if you're like me, you don't have just one going on right now. Right? You've got your majors and your minors. The majors, majors, majors. Minors, minors, then how do we keep it all going? Guys, we will be undone. Undone. We either stand with Christ or against him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy in our lives. Lord, I just pray for all of us, every single one of us in this room, Lord, and those downstairs, and those in the other churches, and those in the community that aren't in church this morning. Lord, I pray that the believers in you would grab on to your strength, to your truth, and we would know that we're in the battle, that we would put on the armor where we're going next week, that we would be willing to take you on and have you be our armor. Have you be the one that we battle with in your strength and in your truth. So, Father, I just ask that this week there would be some things surrendered by us here. That we would be willing to surrender some battles that we are fighting right now in our strength. And we would bring you into the battle. Father, thank you that you don't force yourself on us. That we have the free will to choose you. And then we have the free will to choose to trust you day by day, moment by moment. Lord, you are a good, mighty, powerful, loving, kind God. We need you desperately in our lives. I just pray that this would be a week of spiritual victory, that our people would be experiencing living more and more as victors in Christ, and that the old mentality of being a victim would be gone, and we would see how we are victorious in you, even in the small things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Gus.